Hey everybody, it's Dave Hall here with the Gogi Fitness Systems. I'm bringing you another episode of War Stories, Tales from the Front. Today I have the esteemed honor of bringing you my friend and mentor, Elliot Holtz. I know that you've heard Elliot's name probably in just about every interview I've done so far. He's a huge influence in most of the people that that I work and talk with, and his work is all the way across the board, from marketing, from fitness, building strength. His code is learning how to become the strongest version of yourself, and he takes a very holistic and open approach to what that means. Without too much more introduction, Elliot, say hey to everybody.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Dave, thanks for having me on the call, buddy.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. For everybody who doesn't know, give us a little bit of your background. Tell us, you know, where you came from.
Well, my background with regard to fitness starts way back when I was probably about 4 years old. My uncle came and lived with my parents on Long Island, so it was really my mom's little brother. He was what you would call a superman, especially to a four-year-old, because he did backflips, he would chop bricks with his hands, he would do all types of wild and crazy physical feats that he learned as a black belt in Northern Shaolin Kung Fu. He was a martial artist. And he was also a gymnast, he was also a bodybuilder, and he was also a marathon runner. So you can imagine my psyche was developed in an environment where I literally lived with a superman. And he taught me and my little brothers how to work out, and how to do push-ups, sit-ups, climb ropes, and lift barbells all the way through high school. Had a profound impact on me. So that's the canvas through which I was able to paint or begin painting the story of my professional life. I went on to play football in college through college scholarship, athletic scholarship, and I also studied exercise physiology in college, and I went on to begin teaching my friends and teammates the things that I knew and that I learned from my uncle about barbell training, bodyweight training, gymnastics, sprinting, strength and conditioning. And to this very day, that's what I spend my life doing, teaching people the things I learned way back when I was 4 years old.
Wow, that's cool. I know from my own martial arts experience that whenever martial artists get together and talk about how they got started, it invariably it's some variation of Bruce Lee or David Carradine and the old Kung Fu series. And you actually had that heroic character actually living in your house. That must have been a tremendous inspiration. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I know. I should also mention before we get too far into this interview that Elliot is one of the mental meatheads that's going to be presenting here at my gym in January, along with Chip Conrad, Jason C. Brown, and Matt Wichlinski. And so we're very excited to have him as a part of that. From my experience and my knowledge of your background, Elliot, you've crossed a wide spectrum of influences in fitness, all the way from, you know, your experiences as a professional strongman to Paul Cech. Can you speak to that a little bit about that wide canvas that you've learned from?
Well, from what I understand and what I've heard, you've got two general types of people. You got people who are big picture people who aren't necessarily capable or talented in picking little details apart, and they're not usually number people, but they're people that can see how big pieces fit together. They seem to have like that view from the helicopter where most things are concerned. And then you've got other people who are tinkerers, people who are really good at numbers and statistics. They're great technicians. They're incredible with their hands and dealing with small patient items. I happen to be the former. I happen to look at everything and see everything at the same time. And it's a blessing and it's a curse because I move very quickly and I don't necessarily build the depth of mastery in any one particular thing, but I see how they all fit together, and I've always been fascinated with that, especially in regards to fitness, to health, to the body. You know, I don't see how health of the mind can be separated from health of the body. In fact, I see how they're one thing. I mean, the brain extends itself into your body via the spinal cord and the peripheral nervous system. There really is no true separation except for what we have decided to call a separation between the mind and the body. And then our environment, that we are not separate from our environment. So to consider the food that we eat, to consider the air that we breathe, to consider the ground that we walk on as something different from our body and from our brain is silly. It doesn't exist. In the same way that a bumblebee, a honeybee, doesn't exist without a flower to produce its honey and to share its pollen and whatnot. Like, one doesn't exist with the other, and that flower doesn't exist without the sun, and the sun doesn't exist without the universe. We don't exist without the ground that we walk on, the air that we breathe, and it's just all one big thing. So I never try to talk about or single out one piece of it without having people consider how it's all interconnected.
Nice. That's, yeah. Do you know that you're a poet too?
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I think poetry is a good way to describe it. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, when I came up with the concept for Mental Meatheads, your influence was very, very strong in that, because in the work that we've done together and the influence that you've shared with me is beyond just the physical aspect and the idea that it's really inseparable. You can't take your brain out of your workout, just like you can't take your workout out of your brain. And so that's really cool. I appreciate that.
Right. And you can't, like, I'll talk about many different things with regard to philosophy. I'll talk about sex. I'll talk about politics. I'll talk about career. I'll talk about religion, because none of these things are separate from our entire, the big piece of us. So you want to squat more weight. You want to deadlift more. You want to bench press more. You want to have six-pack abs, but you've got these faulty thinking patterns, or maybe rather unresourceful thinking patterns, because nothing's truly faulty. You know, things are the way they are because that's just the way they are. But maybe they're not resourceful to you. The way you're thinking about God, for example, or the way you're thinking about your career, for example, causes stress in the body, which leads to a sympathetic response, which causes you not to sleep well, causes you to have diarrhea, which causes you not to digest, assimilate, and utilize your food well. And you want to deadlift more? So we got to go back. We got to, you know, it's like, you want to deadlift more? You're all fucked up in your head, and your physiology is damaged because of it. So there's no way that I could ever pay true homage to helping people get fit if I don't address and at least shed light on those ideas.
Yeah. Nice. Very cool. My knowledge of your background, especially in St. Petersburg, started with your gym, Strength Camp. And that has really evolved over the time that it has existed. Can you talk about that a little bit, what the evolution of Strength Camp and where it came from and where it is now?
It's funny because on the outside, it looks like an evolution. It looks like it's started somewhere and it's going somewhere, when the fact is that it's always been what it's becoming right now. And again, of course, I sound poetic once again. But the thing is that the big picture, when you're a big picture person, when you're seeing the big picture, when you're living holistically, not just, you know, in the type of food you're eating, but in every aspect of your life, you can see all of the parts before you begin, but for each one of those parts to be manifested physically takes time. And for the big picture to have been built out for me, I started with the piece that was physical training, which was strength training, which was bodybuilding, which was, you know, strongman and powerlifting. That was only a piece of the big picture that I saw a long time ago, but it was the one that was most readily available to me to earn an income through. It happens to be the one that most people in my sphere of influence are interested in. You know, it was easier for me being a pro strongman and having a strong body and being an ex-football player just to begin and approach the world through the barbell than, say, through philosophy, you know. So when you say that it's evolved, it's kind of like it's just I'm stripping off the layers of what has always been underneath, and everyone's getting to see it. I'm getting to see it as it emerges over the years.
Yeah, I called you a poet earlier, and I'm going to revise that because you really speak. I mean, you are a poet, so I'm not going to take that away. But you speak with an artist's heart. There's a famous quote. I believe it was about Michelangelo in sculpting. And when they asked him, you know, I mean, how did you bring David, the sculpture David, out of that stone? And he was like, well, I just took away everything that wasn't David. And yeah. I think the thing that identifies an artist, that a true artist, is that they're able to see the finished product before they've even made the first step. And so it's very strong vision that you have, and so to all of us, it does. It looks like an evolution, but it sounds like to you, it was, you know, it's just part of the plan, and you know, you knew where you were going from the start.
Yeah, and I think that we all have the capacity, and I think in many ways we all have the desire to do kind of the same thing. We're creative. We're co-creators here, you know, as creatures on this planet. We have the capacity to bring what's in our mind into reality. But the problem is that we're stripped of our dreams very early on. We're told why they can't happen, why they shouldn't happen, why they're irrational, why they're irresponsible. And I guess I was just stupid enough, you know, in many ways, to not listen to them. I just was like, well, that's fine that it worked out that way for you, and that's beautiful advice if you like that. Most of the time, these people are miserable, the ones that offer that advice. But anyway, that seems to be what 99% of people are doing. I didn't really care, and I think just through a rebellious streak in my character, I just said, you know what? Fuck you, fuck everyone, I'm going to do it this way. So it looks nice to a lot of people from the outside, but they got to realize that, like, you could do that too. In fact, you probably want to do it. So what my job is and what I see myself doing as a professional is inspiring people to do that. Just do it.
Yeah, that's nice. I can completely see that, both from what I watch of you on the outside and from my experience in dealing with you in person. You are definitely a motivator. And speaking of which, I saw. Did you see Seth Godin's Facebook post today, or his? Do you get his newsletter?
I do, but I did not read it today.
Zig Ziglar died today.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of those guys.
Yeah, he published a, Seth published a, basically just a kind of a farewell obituary to Zig Ziglar. And definitely, I think that there is a very kindred quality between you and Zig Ziglar. There's a very giving and promoting quality about you that, you know, the for anybody who's not familiar, Elliot currently has a project that he's working on called Non-Jobs, the Non-Jobs Campaign, and he's just giving it away. It's so speak to that while we're on the subject. Talk about Non-Jobs for a little bit, because I think that ties in to a lot of what we're talking about here about the holistic nature of what you do.
Well, if you ask people what the most controversial topics that you could approach in life are. They're always the ones that people are most sensitive about, right? So you would say, oh, it's probably like religion, politics, or sex. Where in reality, religion and politics are of higher thought. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, these are things that you think about when things are well. You know, you don't think too much about God when you need to put food in your table, in your mouth. You know, you might have a faith or something like that, but really you're not going too deep into any type of thought because you're hungry. You're not thinking about sex when you're hungry, right? I mean, again, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, safety and security come before sex. So to dive into the root, to get to the root of where most people's real dysfunction is, I think, in many ways, now this is not, definitive, is with money. It's survival. It's survival. It's being comfortable enough to take care of yourself in other ways. You know, it's how healthy can you be if you're always stressed out about having to meet your mortgage payments, or to make your car payments, or to even, you know, if I talk to a lot of young guys, I can't get a girlfriend. You know, I can't get a, the girls want to hang out with me because I don't have an iPhone. You know, economically we are slaves. We're psychologically and physiologically, physically tied to the economic system in the world that we live in. It's an economic system, a machine that we live in. We can't deny that. We have to recognize it, but we have to also learn the rules of the game, the lies that we've been told, and how to navigate this thing so that we don't lose ourselves. Right, so we don't lose, so we can be in the world, but not of it, right? And that means maximizing your potential, self-actualization, right? Like Maslow says, self-actualization, top of the pyramid, means maximizing the potential that we've all been given as human beings. We're all born with a particular potential. You know, we're only given a limited opportunity to look at things that we may or may not be able to do. But if you delve in and you experience and you try things out, you'll come to see that there's something special about you too. There's something special about everyone. And it's our job, it's our responsibility. It's not just our right, but it's our responsibility to shine that light on the world. It's ours. We've been given it so that we could shine our light on the world. But too many of us have stifled that light, or that light has been stifled in us, or we've never even been given an opportunity to explore the fact that there may be a light there. So the campaign for non-jobs, right? You know, how the hell do I come full circle from that? The campaign for non-jobs is my attempt to show everyone how they can take the passion that lies in their heart, take their light, like I described, brush it off, shine it up, and display it for the world to see. And just like everything in nature is symbiotic, it all works together. When you shine your light, light shall be shined back on you. When you give, you shall receive. It's like this is biblical shit. You give and you shall receive. Another one of the problems that we've been conditioned to accept, the things we've been conditioned to accept, is that money, we don't deserve money. We don't deserve rewards. We don't deserve to be paid well. You know, there are a lot of guys in the non-job Facebook group that are doing fantastic work that I personally would pay hundreds of dollars for, but they're afraid to put it out. They're afraid to share it with people. They're afraid to ask for money for it in return. So non-jobs is a way to not only encourage you to brush off your light and display it, but also develop the means by which you should be rewarded for your efforts. So I know that's like a long way of just basically saying how to become an entrepreneur through the internet by sharing your passions with people. I mean, that's really it.
Nice. I'm reminded, and I'm struggling to remember the author's name, but there's a book on my shelf right now and in my other office, otherwise I would be looking it up. Have you read Why You're Dumb, Sick, and Broke?
Read what? I'm sorry?
The title of the book is Why You're Dumb, Sick, and Broke.
Oh, Wingate? Larry Wingate?
No, that's not quite it.
no, it sounds funny though. I haven't heard of it. Mm.
Yeah, no, it's actually a great read, and one of the real eye-opening things for me in this book is that he talks about that there is a pervading meme in our culture that wealth is inherently evil, and that
right. And
you see it in media, you see it in news reports, you see it in our movies. There's always this undercurrent theme of sin that is associated with wealth, and it's this, we have this cultural belief that rich people got rich by doing bad things. That, you know, in order to have more, you had to step on somebody or take something from somebody else in order to have it. And if you look at, you know, I mean, if you look at our movies and you look at our comic books and these sort of cultural references that we feed ourselves with, Batman is one of the few superheroes that actually comes from wealth. And in order to justify his wealth, his parents had to die. I mean, there's just this pervasive sense. And so as we move through the world, and we tell ourselves, you know, I'd like to have a little bit more. I'd like to be a little more comfortable. I'd like to have, you know, these things. There's this subconscious programming that's running that's saying, you know, yeah, but rich people do bad things in order to get rich. And I'm not willing to do bad things. I'm not willing to be a bad person. And so we sabotage ourselves along the way and continually, you know, screw up the efforts that we're consciously making in order to succeed. So you talk about that and being able to be rewarded for the efforts that you put forth. You know, you're a unique individual in that you're able to break outside of that programming so strongly and to promote that message to the rest of the world. So kudos to you for that, my friend. That's profound.
Thanks. I could tell you that it's not been easy and that I'm not free from the conditioning. It's still something that I battle with. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think it's just a matter of, and I use this term for fitness, like bodybuilding, strength training, but it really, the barbell is a metaphor for everything in life. I've really come to see that, and that's why I still use strength training as a metaphor for all these things. But you've got to turn your brain off. You got to turn your brain off the same way that you turn your brain off when you've got to push out four more reps. You know, I need four more reps. You know, I can do it. But you got to shut your brain off because your brain is conditioned with all those negative, unresourceful thoughts. And it's the same thing with building your business or putting yourself out there to receive. Those ideas do come. They do come to me. They always come. But I shut them off. It's just a matter of turning the brain off. Just say, okay, here's this idea. I feel it coming. I literally see it coming like a train coming straight at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to turn my eyes, not looking at it.
Yeah, that's a good technique. I've been introduced to a similar technique like that when I was dealing with some more emotional type stuff early on in my life, but I never thought about applying it for, you know, those other aspects. So that's cool. That in itself right there is a big gift to offer to the world, to let people know that they need not be subject to their own thoughts. You know, you control what you think, and you control what goes in and what comes out. And it takes strength and will to do that. So that's cool. I like that. I'm going to keep that in mind. So we got Mental Meatheads coming up in January, and I know that I'm real excited about it. I think it's going to be it's a great program. We've got some really top-notch presenters. But I'm curious as to, you know, what you think about when you think about the concept of this Mental Meatheads and what it means to you.
Well, you know what? Could you hold on for 1 second? The furniture guy's here.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I'm just going to wave and let him know that he can come in. I'll just keep talking. So, yeah, about Mental Meatheads, I am very excited to come and talk, very excited that you put something like this together because, you know, you're offering me all these all this praise, and I appreciate it. But you got to realize that it takes one to know one, and there are people in your lives that are mirrors to you. And I think many ways that I may just be acting as a mirror to you. And in that, you can see how powerful you actually are, Dave, in bringing together a lot of the more obscure ideas that I share with people by bringing together a team of people that have these holistic ideas. You know, the guys that are going to be speaking are not your average meatheads. You know, they're mental meatheads. And you saw that in each one of us because you saw yourself in each one of us. And I want to congratulate you, and I'm excited to participate.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's going to be a huge event. I'm overjoyed at the prospect of it, so I appreciate you agreeing to be a part of it. You got a furniture guy coming in, so I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I want to let you get back onto your day. What is it that you'd like to leave everybody with as far as what you've got going on, how they can get more of Elliot Holtz? Share with us, you know, how to access more of your ideas and to move forward with the project you have going.
You know, what I would like to leave everybody with is what I believe to be the most vital characteristic, most vital value or virtue, that's the word I'm looking for achieving and loving and living and having a great life, becoming the strongest version of yourself. And that's courage. So I don't necessarily want you to take my ideas. I don't want you to absorb my ideas. What I want you to do is have the courage to open your mind and open your eyes and bring in as many ideas as you possibly can. A lot of people are enthralled with the fact that I know so many things. And it's not that I know a lot of things. It's that I'm courageous enough to open my mind to a lot of things. You know, explore, go out there, read. You should never stop reading. You should be reading as diverse an array of books on different topics as possible. Anything that can add to you becoming the strongest version of yourself. That's what I would encourage everybody to do. If you'd like to see how I'm doing it, you can always go to my Facebook wall. I'm posting stuff up there all the time. It's facebook.com/Elliot Holtz, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, Holtz. I've got multiple YouTube channels. Just Google my name. You'll find all the stuff. If what I'm doing and the way I share it is resourceful to you, it's helpful to you, you like it, I'm grateful that I can offer that to you. But really, what I want and what this all means to me, the most important thing that I can achieve and want from you is for you to build the courage to become the strongest version of yourself.
Nice. I'll just add to that, and I hadn't really ever considered it before until I heard you say it.
You're not a real parking space, dude. Hold on a second. There's no parking space? Oh, man, I know everybody's out there right now. Hey. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Dave?
What I was going to point out was that used both the words courage and the words encourage. And encourage actually contains the word courage inside of it. And we think about it in terms of promoting, I guess, but really what it is it's giving courage.
Yes, please.
So as you continue to do your work, that's what you do, my friend, is that you give courage to the rest of the world. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, man, absolutely. And thanks for having me on this call. Hey, when we click off, just stay on. I want to ask you a question.
Not a problem. All right, everybody. I really appreciate Elliot spending the time with us today. I encourage you guys, if you have not looked into Mental Meatheads, do look into it. There's a few spots left for our workshop January 26th and 27th, and there will be plenty more of this to be had at that workshop. I hope everybody has a great day.